This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Queen is one of rock music's best-selling acts. In the 1970s and 80s, the British band sold out stadiums around the world. Swarms of fans flocked to Queen shows in awe of frontman Freddie Mercury's high-energy performances and the band's diverse catalog of rock music. But Queen's music easily lends itself to symphonic interpretation. Just listen to this little bit of the operatic passage from Bohemian Rhapsody.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the bandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo,
Figaro.
Magnifico! The choral and orchestral sounds that found their way into so many of Queen's hits caught the ear of Brent Havens. Brent is a symphony conductor who will present the music of Queen with the North Carolina Symphony tonight in Raleigh. The orchestra will be accompanied on the stage by a full rock band that includes singer Brody Dalenick, who is also with us on the phone. He is from the group Yellow Brick Road. Both Brent and Brody are my guests on the program today. Thanks for being with us, guys. Good to have you here.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Hi. Great to be here.
Brent, you're the conductor of this and arranger of this show, a symphonic celebration of Queen's music. Why did you decide to put this together?
Well, this is the I think the fourth of our shows that I've done. We did way back in 1995. We did the music of Led Zeppelin, and shortly thereafter we did the music of Pink Floyd. We've done the music of the Doors, the Eagles, and Queen was just it was an easy choice. Partially because of what you just played, the Bohemian Rhapsody, the fact that there's so much harmonic structure and just so – it's so rich in textures, and adding an orchestra was just an easy fit for me. And I thought, man, this is going to be a great show, and it ends up being one of our best.
Now, is one of the tough choices, you know, what to pick from the catalog? Pretty diverse.
It is. The catalog was massive, and they're such a great group, and they had so many hits that it became a difficult choice. So I had the guys in my core band write down 30 tunes that they thought would fit well, and I put 30 tunes, and then I scoured the internet, and I always, you know, get some feedback from Queen groups, and not that I actually put it out and say, hey, it's me and I'm looking to put a show together, but I'm just sort of lurking. I'm not actually searching for it in terms of, you know, asking for particular input. But I wanted to, check out to see what other people thought were the best Queen tunes and things that they would like to actually hear if they went to a concert like that. So that's how we did it. And we whittled it down to the 18 or 19 or 20, whatever it is that we do.
Were there any choices? I'm curious to know if there were some of the choices that you thought, oh, you know what, this one really doesn't work so well with an orchestral arrangement.
Yeah, I do run into that with all the shows. Some of the tunes that they actually are going to do may not work as well with an orchestra. It may be a rock tune that has maybe three chords, because that's it. It is three chords for 6 minutes, and it makes it more difficult to have counterpoint structures in the or counterpoint lines in the orchestra, or having rich structures in the brass and the woodwinds. And so I struggle with that, because some of those are their big hits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the audience is going to tear the place apart if you're not doing a certain –
You
of
could
their
sneak
hits,
a couple of chords in there, see if anybody noticed.
You
Move
could
it up
do
to
that.
Five and see what would happen. Brody, you have to play Queen frontman Freddie Mercury in this concert. High-energy role to play, considered iconic performer. How do you do this? Do you try to characterize him, or are you going to embody him?
No, you know, there's a very fine line between impersonation and impression, and I guess when I approach this show or any show like it, I'm coming in knowing that the audience is expecting to hear, you know, the sound that made the band famous, and in this case, Freddie Mercury's vocals are a bit of a challenge for me, but so I try to approximate that sound as much as I can without coming across like an impersonator, and, you know, there are a great number of Freddie Mercury or Queen band impersonators or tribute bands out there across the world that do an amazing job of replicating the entire Queen band experience with a guy up front and a mustache or a fake mustache and a pair of cut-off shorts. And that's just not me, not in this show anyway. So what I like about this show is I can step out there and be me and do the vocals as much justice as possible and you really don't need any gimmicks when you've got a 50-piece orchestra and a bunch of talented musicians behind you pulling off the music extremely well. So,
when you talk about doing it justice, is there a sense, though, that the rock element gets lost in this symphonic arrangement?
No, not really. It's there, and it's accompanied by an orchestra. I think it's an amazing combination to appeal to the rock and roll fans and the classical music fans, and it's something that neither audience totally expects when they come into this. A lot of times, classical fans don't even realize there's going to be a band in front of the orchestra. I think they expect that it's going to be sort of a Muzak version of Queen. And likewise, some of the rock fans that come into it expect that. And then when they see that it's both and they're getting the full deliverance of the band's sound and power with the added color or texture of an orchestra behind it, it just makes for a sort of an eye-opening experience and an ear-opening experience.
An ear-opening experience. And we're going to do a little of that ear-opening right now by listening to a past performance with you, Brody, on stage.
Oh, no.
It's actually pretty good. You'll like it, I think. Yeah, Winborne Symphony in Hartford, Connecticut. You're singing Somebody to Love. Let's listen.
Can anybody find me somebody to love? Are we ready, brothers and sisters? Come on, let's do it.
There's Brody Dalenick with the Winborne Symphony Orchestra in Hartford, Connecticut. That was some time ago. You can hear it again tonight at 7 o'clock, May Mandy Hall, with the North Carolina Symphony. Brody, you talked about the band being there and the orchestra. How much do you, as the lead singer, interact? Do you find yourself talking more to the band, to the orchestra? How much interaction do you have with the orchestra?
Well... I'm trying to interact mostly with the audience, of course, and engage them and keep them interested and clapping and stomping and singing along. And that's a pretty big field to cover in front of me. So to try to turn around and engage the orchestra while they're trying to read sheet music is probably not such a great idea. In fact, I think a couple of times I've spun around to try to get the cello player to stomp and clap, and He's busy doing what he's doing, so I don't do too much engagement with the orchestra.
With his hands, but his feet aren't doing anything. Come on.
Well, I try
just
to
saying.
Get them to stomp their feet, and they kept their eyes glued to the page.
How about you, Brian, in terms of arranging this kind of thing? I mean, music can be music, and you can arrange for woodwinds, but if you've got a band and a symphony orchestra, how does that change things for you?
Yeah, the combination of the two is always a task, balancing it and giving the orchestra interesting music and not just, okay, here you're just going to do some pad stuff back there. And I was never really interested in doing that. I didn't want that kind of experience either for the orchestra or the audience. So getting that balance to where the orchestra isn't overpowering the band and the band isn't overpowering the orchestra, both harmonically, structurally, and audio out in the hall is just a very delicate balance. So
well, to do that, it would seem to me, and I'm asking you if you do this, do you then create parts for the orchestra?
Certainly.
Not just reinforcing them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I completely rewrite the parts. I mean, since there weren't parts originally there, I'm not really rewriting anything. I'm just adding to what was there. So the band, my concept originally was that the band would play pretty much what's on the album, and Brody would handle mostly what's on the album, plus injection of his own personality into it, which makes a great show. But then you take the orchestra and add all those lines. So the woodwinds playing a counterpoint line to the guitar solo, or you know the strings playing counterpoint to the winds who are playing counterpoint to the. So it ends up getting to be a rather massive sound and wonderful. I mean, it's just a completely different experience. We've had people come up and just say, "Oh my gosh, that's better than you know the originals that we have on our albums at home."
Did you find yourself researching Queen's creative process to the extent that we know anything about that?
Not as much as you might think. I certainly not of their process, but I certainly was interested in making sure I got everything the way they thought it needed to be on the band side. And Brody has known the group for so long, and one of our guitar player for the group played he played in the show in Vegas. We Will Rock You.
We Will Rock You.
Yeah, and he did that for a few months, and so he met Brian May, and he knows the bass player for the group, and so we got some of that experience and some of their experiences through him, and you know they're just a wonderful bunch of guys too.
Brody, did you ever find yourself again knowing the music of Queen and sort of having to reprise now? That band experience on stage, turning around, talking to Brian and saying, listen, that line isn't going to work in this music. I mean, it's just not Queen. It's not working at all. I mean, do you find yourself either wanting to or having a part in the creative process of reconstituting this music?
No. I mean, Brent's instructions for me are pretty well laid out. And for me, this is a very natural transition going from a Las Vegas band situation where I was doing a lot of the Queen catalog anyway and other classic rock genre material. When he called me to come out and audition, you know, this was sort of a ready-made gig for me. Not to toot my own horn, but I'd just been doing it for several years. And so when I went out, I think that we found it was a natural fit. And I was already pretty well studied on this part, you know.
Right.
The only difference is instead of a four-piece band behind me, it's a 54-piece band.
And we realized it the first time we heard him, too. I mean, he ended up being the first one of the we invited after whittling it down. We invited four people to come sing, and he just he was first one up, and we knew that he had set the bar so high. He just knew the material. Yeah. I mean, and it was just a great fit for us.
Brody, does it change the way you approach the material now, having heard it with a symphony orchestra behind you?
I certainly have probably a greater deal of respect for it, hearing it from a different perspective. And you know, there were some songs in the show that I wasn't that familiar with, some more obscure songs, or I was sort of partial to the earlier '70s era Queen hits, and there were some selections from their later catalog that Brent chose, which I wasn't extremely familiar with, but having had to go and learn them and get inside the lyrical content, there are some songs now that I can almost barely squeak through without getting very emotional.
Mm.
There's a song called These Are the Days of Our Lives, which is towards the end of the Queen era, and I wasn't extremely familiar with it, and now when I perform the song, and I'm thinking of the lyrical content, there's so much of it that reflects my own personal life, family members that have gone away and things like that, that it makes it very, very difficult to get through. So I have a newfound respect for that song and a few others. And there's a song in particular that we do with the orchestra, Who Wants to Live Forever, was, again, not totally on my radar before. But now that we do it and it has the full power of the orchestra behind it, it's a very emotional and moving experience for me and the audience. So, totally.
You know, Brent, that's one of the great things about these genre-bending performances is they bring or could bring new people to the music and bring a new understanding to stuff you thought you already knew. But does it work? I mean, you've done things, you know, you've arranged The Who, Led Zeppelin, Michael Jackson, and mm-hmm. some more. But do audiences who love those musicians really think they're going to – do they show up when they know the symphony orchestra is going to be behind it?
Yeah, because, again, most of the groups that we do are groups that you can't hear anymore. Michael Jackson has gone on. Zeppelin isn't touring anymore. Pink Floyd isn't together. You can hear, you know, Waters and those guys doing their own thing. But it's – we try to put together those classic rock groups that actually aren't doing it anymore. And so those people who are the huge fans come out and go, this is just amazing. I mean, it's almost like I'm there again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Brody asks and Randy Jackson asks on the Zeppelin show, you know, how many actually saw Queen? How many of you actually saw Zeppelin? You know, and a few. Mm-hmm. You know, because the crowd ranges from 5-year-olds, because a lot of the people want to bring their kids, and it's a great show to bring your kids to. And then the, you know, 50, 60-year-olders, 50 and up from there actually had a chance to see them, and, you know, they're
just
getting a new experience.
Simply
you know?
Not remember or... Or they're dead.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So.
Brody, give us a sense of what we see. Now, what are we going to see tonight?
Well, if you're coming in as a Queen fan and you're knowing that, well, I know I'm going to hear probably most of my favorite Queen songs done, I guess depends on what you've heard on the radio ad or what you've seen online or read in the brochure. But I mean, if you have a fair understanding of what a symphony might look like or sound like on its own, and if you can imagine a great, talented band, and by the way, the five people up front are no slouches on their own. Guitar, drums, bass, keyboards, myself, is a pretty good unit on its own. If you can imagine a great-sounding band replicating Queen's live sound, if you will, and now try to picture in your mind what that's going to look like with 50 orchestral musicians behind it and what it's going to sound like to hear real strings and real horns and a real percussionist and, you know, all of this sound combined together, that's what you're going to get. So it's going to be part rock concert, part symphonic recital. It's going to be something that if you've never seen a rock symphony before, it's something you need to see and experience firsthand.
You know, Brent, we talked about bringing those rock audiences into the symphony hall. Does it actually foster, do you think, an appreciation for symphonic music among those who may not be familiar with that sound?
Well, our original concept was, yeah, that's what we would like to do. We want to get a whole new audience coming in to see a symphony orchestra. And you know, the idea of what a symphony orchestra is to people who haven't actually seen it is far different than what reality is. And these are musicians that they're world class. The North Carolina Symphony is a world class music, a world class orchestra. So you can put anything in front of them. And they can play it. And that kind of appreciation, even on my side and my musicians that are coming in, is just wonderful. I mean, and we want that to be experienced by the audience. And we took surveys early on when we were doing these shows when we first started them. And I think between 85 and 90% had never, ever seen their local orchestra before. And so they're in getting a brand new experience and thinking, wow, this is something. I mean, these are cool people. I mean, these people can play. They can rock out.
And maybe Brody will get the cellist to stomp his feet tonight. So cooler than you had ever imagined.
Way cooler, yeah.
Before. So
I'm on a mission.
He's on a mission.
All right, folks, if you're going tonight, check it out. And then you can all, you know, tweet on whether or not the cellist stomped. So who else would you like to do? What other?
Yeah, you know, we just premiered our Who show with the Houston Symphony Orchestra last week. It was wonderful. It worked great, and I haven't thought past that. I get requests. We don't have any female classic rock groups yet, so I mean, I'm looking there. I don't know. I haven't thought too much.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand, classic rock. Yeah, there you go.
There you go. I want to thank you both for being with me on the program today. Great to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you.
Brent Havens will conduct the North Carolina Symphony Orchestra in The Music of Queen, featuring singer Brody Dalenick, and that happens tonight at 7 o'clock, May Mandy Concert Hall in Raleigh. For more information, visit ncsymphony.org. Coming up, a tribute to Latin American political leader Simon Bolivar. Stay tuned.